Okay, so 1 Corinthians. How many years has it been since I've preached 1 Corinthians? Well, however long it's been. I think I did 1 Corinthians before Hebrews. And so in our church, the pattern of the 66 books is it before I preached Hebrews or not? And so even 1 Corinthians, in that perspective, I think it'll be a little bit, it'll be a bit renewed because there'll be a lot more things added. And so Hebrews is really important to the Bible. This description of the ministry in the heavenly tabernacle is really important to look at the Bible with this ministry in mind. And so all the sermons I preached before Hebrews, I'm wanting to back it up and refresh them. But right now, the time schedule right now is I have to do Ezekiel. I also have to do Ecclesiastes. I have to hurry up and finish Ecclesiastes. I think we're on chapter 9. And then also Daniel. I think Daniel will be finished in Israel soon. And then, so will we be going into Revelations and integrate all of the end time prophecies in Daniel, or am I going to first make a stop in Ezekiel? I don't know just yet. Because right now, according to God's pattern, and it's really important for me right now to go into these end times. But brothers, remember and be warned, be forewarned, that when we go into the eschatology, there will be a lot of attacks. And so we need to prepare to receive the eschatology. We need to be pure and holy. So brothers and sisters who are in the fourth floor, I bless you. Okay, it was the mothers, the baby mothers. Okay, so last time, I think we got to verse 3. And as we got up to verse 3, we talked about the greetings. And in that greetings, there was also a lot of really important doctrines that I talked about. I talked about the doctrine of God. I don't need to go over it again, but what we do need to see is in verse 2, it says, to the church of God. And so in the epistles of Paul, there's only 1st and 2nd Corinthians where it's addressed to the church of God, which is interesting. Because Paul never writes that to the glorious church in Ephesus. And yet why in 1st and 2nd Corinthians does Paul specifically use these words, to the church of God? Because from Paul's perspective, he doesn't understand from Paul's perspective, you know, he had this sense of urgency, right? This urgency of the eschatology, that Jesus Christ is going to come soon. There were many reasons for this, but the main reason is during Paul's generation, the revelation that was given to Paul was that Paul never foresaw how the church would fall, according to the prophecy of Isaiah 47. Right? Like, of course, Joel talks about how the temple of God will rot away before the end times. But Paul, to him, he could never have imagined the church of God being corrupted. He could never imagine the church of God falling down. And so to Paul, he could never have imagined that. And so the fact that this church in Corinth came about, he could not have imagined that. He could not have foreseen it. But if you look at it from the perspective of this day and age, this church in Corinth was a very amazing church when you compare it to present-day churches. Right. It's a church that was flowing with spiritual gifts. And you know, spiritual gifts is so popular. And so... But yet, you know what's interesting is I have never seen throughout history a church that was glorified through spiritual gifts. Right? In our church, we use spiritual gifts, but are we focused on spiritual gifts? No, we were not. But the church in Corinth was focused on spiritual gifts. But really, so if you compare this church of 1 Corinthians to the present day church, the church is a really amazing church. But to Paul's eyes, this church isn't even a church. It's something that breaks his heart. Because even though all of these spiritual gifts are manifesting, and yet Paul had to write four times to him, at the very least, four times to him, and he held on to this church with love. But you know, even until AD 130, the church in Corinth never revives. And I'm sure Paul would have fallen to despair if he knew that. And yet, even though it was such a shabby church, and yet why did Paul hold on to the church in Corinth? It's because he had the faith that this is the church of God. And so, same thing, right? In Yerbang Church, we have so many faults. But in the beginning, I was the same. I was thinking, God, I'm Gangnam style. Why am I here? And in that time, I couldn't leave this church because I had nowhere else to go. No, I'm just joking. Okay. There was faith. God gave me the faith that this is the church of God. And so I didn't leave. So I said to God, Lord, can there anything good come out of Shiwa? And yet now Shiwa is turning into something like a city. But when I first came 27 years ago, there was nothing here. So I don't know how I survived here. I survived here by looking upon your faces. I'm grateful. But anyways, and so this word, the church of God, even us, Yerbang Church, and Zoe Ministry all over the world, we've invested so much, we've dedicated so much, we poured out so much. Why? Because it is the church of God. And so we cannot describe the church of God with just one word, but at the very least, as it says in Acts, the church purchased by the blood of God. And so that means that God will hold nothing back for the church. Right? That's what I talked about in 1 Corinthians, right? The being of the church. This is one of the most important things. As individuals, we are nothing. Right, and yet when we go out as a church, look at the amazing works that are being done. It's not because of their individual talents, but because we are the church. Even these children here, right? They flip Central America upside down, right? Each and every single one of them as an individual, what could they possibly possess? Maybe they have something, but right, there was a lot of healing, there was a lot of deliverance. It's all because of the being of the church. The church is an amazing thing, yes? And so in 1 Corinthians, I talked about this word for the very first time, which was the being of the church. And so once again, we want to look at this being of the church as we go through 1 Corinthians. And so we saw up to verse 3 last time. So now let's continue from verse 4. And honestly, up to verse 9 is the introduction. And then starting from verse 10 to 17 is this beginning of the body of the text. But let's at least get the first of the introduction. The introduction of each epistle is really important because the introduction, it gives you the general overview of that epistle. And so when you see the epistle, you can see how Paul is going to unravel that epistle. And so let's look at verse 4, the introduction. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. And so he begins by giving thanks. And why does he give thanks? Because of the grace of God, because there is the grace of God, that he always gives thanks to God. And because there is grace, he is giving thanks for them. And this word grace, it's such an important word, yes? This word grace, we can understand it in many ways, but when we think about it from the perspective of the kingdom of God, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is best described by grace, by the word grace, which means God's reign. Living in God, what does that mean? It means I'm in grace. What is that? It's all a gift. It's all a present, right? Everything is given by God. Even from the moment you were saved, when you receive this truth, it would be so much easier for you to live by God, living in a glorious way for God, knowing how blessed it is to live for Him. But ever since you were saved, for the first few days you shine brightly like a spark. But afterwards you stopped living by grace and you started living by your strength. Now, some people don't even recognize this. They don't even know whether they are living by their strength, by their method, or by grace. There's so many people who still don't know. And Paul says in Galatians 5:5 that if I am cut off from grace, if I don't live by grace, it is such a tragedy. That is what Paul is saying, right? He's saying that not living by grace is the greatest tragedy in the world. And so let's say I was successful and I'm rich, and it may be possible to make that through your strength. But when God created man, what was His plan for man? It was for man to become like God. That is God's purpose for our creation. And so if you are missing the target, that is what sin is, right? What is the word in Greek? It is the word hamartia, right? Meaning you missed the mark. And so all mankind these days are not living focused on God, right? Whether it's they're trying to live for money, whether they're trying to live for fame, it doesn't matter how successful they are. If they are missing the mark, their life is empty. And so listen carefully, brothers. What is our goal? Our goal is to be like God. And so look, by our efforts, we cannot become like God. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that my goal is to go to heaven. That is nowhere described in the Bible. There is no mention of that goal in the Bible. There is nowhere that it says that God's plan for you is to bring you to heaven. The only purpose God has for mankind is to be like Him. That's why He begot us in His image. And so though God created man, man is not God's creation, but is God's children. And so if we miss this mark, we live vain lives. And so this is the goal that God has given, but it cannot be made through the strength of man. How can you become like God by your efforts? It doesn't matter how famous I am. It doesn't matter how powerful I am. And so what is my philosophy for my pastoral ministry is I do not do anything. Because by my efforts, can I turn you, Deacon Park, into God? No, right? No. How about you, Deacon Pan? Do you think that, did you get the contract? You did? Oh, you started, okay. It's a secret, insider secret. Your pastor is so wicked, right? He's trying to take all the money from a poor deacon. No, I cannot. So going back, I cannot. So listen carefully. We must receive God's gift in order to be like God. Amen? Everywhere in the Bible, does it ever describe that out of your efforts, you can be successful? And so really, you need to fix your eyes on this. Because as you live your lives constantly, your strength is going to rise up. Because as you live in Babylon, you're constantly receiving influence from Babylon. And so every day, you need to bow down before God. Every day, you need to repent before God. Why? Because each and every day a new wave of attacks are coming towards you. No matter how much the attacks come, no matter how much they disturb you, if you live by grace, none of their attacks will affect you. Why are you unable to pray? Why is there no presence in the worship? It's because of the influence of Babylon in your life that makes you live by your strength. This is something you need to check each and every day. Am I living by grace or not? Even today, many people say, Pastor, what does it mean to live by grace? What does it mean? What does it mean? See, look, none of you know. But living by grace, that in itself cannot be explained, right? It's a gift, yes, but what gift am I receiving? It's hard to explain, right? But you can only explain it by, you can only know it by receiving it. Why are you unable to receive it? Because your hands are full. That's what Babylon is. Your thoughts, your experience, your things. You think that you can live out of these things. And so each and every day when you lay these things go, that's when you understand what it means to live by grace. As that gift continually comes into you, the joy of that gift, the joy of that present fills you up and you realize, aha, this is what it means to live by God, that this is grace and that this is easy. And so when you find it difficult to live by God, you need to understand that an emergency light needs to be turned on inside you. Oh, it's so difficult to worship, then an alarm should be sounding off inside of you. And so if you are starting to be shut off spiritually, even just a little bit, don't treat this lightly, right? Think about your health, your body, right? If your liver starts to have pain, right? It's a small organ in your body, just one, but there's pain there, then already means that there's a big problem in your body. Why? Because this liver, you start to realize how much pain there is in this liver because it gives signs to all the other organs around it. And so same thing, I'm having fellowship with God, I'm praying with God, I'm living with God, and this is difficult, then already you should be recognizing that this is a warning. And so you should not leave it alone. You should not leave that alone. If you ignore that signal, if you ignore that alarm, that's why you are becoming so and so hard. Right? What is the problem with liver? It's when the liver becomes hardened. It's when that, before the liver gets hardened and you receive treatment, it's easy. But once it gets hardened, it's hard. And so you need to receive grace each and every day. So every day, laying down your strength, laying down your plans, laying down your stratagems, laying down your experiences. And when you confirm that, yes, I'm living by grace, you will discover how easy it is to live by God. And you all know, living by the Holy Spirit, living by grace, you know the joy, you know the inspiration. You know, sometimes you just want to jump for joy in your bed because of the joy that fills you up, right? And so even though my circumstances is hard, my circumstances is falling to despair, when I live in grace, that hardness is nothing. That is so normal and it's the proper way for saints. And look at the saints, even where people are being martyred all around them, they can praise God. And so martyrdom. Martyrdom isn't just simply dying, right? There's someone who's living really bad, and then all of a sudden they come to the place of martyrdom. No, that's impossible. Martyrdom is about your life. It's not about death. Martyrdom is about your life. And so what does the word martyr means? It means witness, right? Martyrio, it means to witness. Martyr. When you live the life of a witness, you are able to be a martyr. And so it's about grace. It's because of this grace. And so look, because of the grace, I give thanks to my God always. And then so what's connected to this grace in verse 4 is in Christ. And we saw this earlier in verse 2, right? Sanctified in Christ, right? The saints sanctified in Christ. Where is our holiness coming from? It's because we are in Christ. What does this mean? Because Jesus is Christ. He is King, right? Jesus, he put on the body of a man to pay the price for our sins. He took up our sins on his body and he died for us. And then he rose again. And what is the result of that? Is righteousness. And so through his ministry, through his saving work, what did we receive? We received sanctification. We received holiness. It's all in Christ. In Christ. Because we are in Christ, it's all of his merits. All of the price that he paid. It's all found in Christ. In Christ, through the sacrifice he made, we receive this gift. That's the same thing here. That in Christ, when it means in Christ, all of the price that he paid, because of those things, we received what? We received grace. Just as Paul says that I will boast in nothing but the cross of Christ, through the merits that of Jesus Christ on that cross, it's when we are in him, all of these things won that. And so when we are in him, we can receive all of these things. And so what is the focus of Christianity? It is being in Christ. It's when we are in Christ that we can receive all things. It's when we are in Christ that we can enjoy glory. And so what is the point? The point is to be in Christ. And we'll talk about fellowship a little bit later. But anyways, and so we must remain in Christ. Amen. Christ in me, I'm in Christ. We must clearly have this relationship. And so in Christ, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, I give thanks to my God. And so all the riches in the church of Corinth, it's not because of their individual talents. It's not by their efforts. It's not by their skills that Paul is thankful. No, rather, in Christ Jesus, because of this grace of God, this gift of God, the church in Corinth has been filled with all kinds of riches. And because of this grace, I give thanks to God. And so Deacon Ban, everything that you're doing, it's not because of your efforts. It's not because of your struggle. It's not because of your talent. But rather, by the grace of God, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Of course, I'm grateful for Deacon Ban, but I'm deacon because of that grace, right? We have nothing to claim without the grace of God. And so let's bless one another. I love you because of the grace of God in you. Amen. And so the church. We can see the church in many places. But what was the image of the church in Korea is that they fight amongst themselves. They're always fighting. They're always litigating against one another. Why do they keep fighting against each other? Right. I've never seen a large church that does not have legalism, that doesn't have litigation. What about Samir Church? Right, they even have litigation, right? Why don't you know? Why? It's because of this. Because to them, okay, no. So grace is like snow. When snow comes, everything is white and it's beautiful, right? But when that snow melts away, it's very dirty, right? It's the same thing. When the church is covered in grace, right, everything is beautiful. But you will not fight amongst each other, right? But there are some people at our church who fight amongst each other. Why are they fighting? Because there's no grace. If there was grace, it'd be covered in snow and it'd look beautiful. But because they lose grace, it reveals all the dirty things inside of them. And so it's the same thing with spousal conflicts. Do you know why you fight with your wife? It's because you lack grace. If you are covered in grace, there's no reason to fight. Everything is beautiful. Did you kiss your wife? You didn't? Why don't you kiss her? I kiss my wife every day. Really? You don't? You do, right? Why do you kiss her? Because she's so beautiful to you, right? It's all grace. It's all grace. Xiaojie says that she doesn't kiss her husband. I want to ask Deacon Kidok, where are you? Why don't you kiss her? Why don't you kiss her? Okay, Xiaojie on Monday, her whole face was covered in golden dust. And I said, go kiss your husband exactly right now in this state. And she's like, kiss my husband? That means that she never kisses him. Right? How can you not kiss your wife when she's so beautiful to you, right? Oh, you don't kiss her either? Right? Because she's so beautiful, you kiss her, right? And if there's grace, everything is beautiful. And so if you think pastor is mad at you, then know that that's lack of grace, right? Right, look at Deacon Park. You are so beautiful. Even though your stomach has grown so much, you are still beautiful. Oh, Sunga, you too. You are beautiful. Don't worry. Why are you shriveling up away? You are beautiful as well. Why are you sighing so deeply? And so grace is really important. And if we want to enjoy this grace, we must remain in Christ. We must not be outside of Christ. It's when we are in Christ that all things are possible. Amen? And these are all things we all know really well, so I don't have to go so deeply. So moving on to verse 5. That in every way you were enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge. And so look. When there is grace in Corinth, all the riches is reason for thanksgiving, right? And so in all speech and all knowledge, meaning that they're able to debate or maybe they're able to evangelize. They're enriched in knowledge and speech. And this is all things that are thanksgiving worthy when there is grace. But without grace, what happens? These words, right? We'll see in 1 Corinthians 7, right? They start to sue each other. And right, and another thing is that they start to accuse Apostle Paul of his inability to speak eloquently, right? And so when we are in grace, all of these riches becomes reason for blessing, but without grace, it becomes a poison. It's the same thing with money. Without grace, that money becomes poison. It becomes the reason for you to not desire God. Same thing with health. In grace, in health, right? You pray and you're dedicated to God, but without that grace, right? When you are healthy, you start cheating on your wife, you know? You know, and so without grace, all things become poison. We must be clear on this. Take heed, okay? Without grace, the things that we possess deceives us into thinking that we can live by our strength. It makes us arrogant. In our church, the offering is always so rich. Why? Because when there's grace, I give. But when I don't have grace, I know that the money that I have is going to be a problem, so I bring it, right? I bring it and I offer. And so those of you without grace, on Sunday, give the offering, right? Offer even your church. Right, if there's no grace, don't hold on to anything. And so as you well know, if someone is not growing and does not live by grace, I do not bless them. I cannot bless them. Give them health? Give them money? No, I cannot pray for people like this, like that way. God is my witness. Rather, I say, God, take it away. Let him be completely ruined. If you doubt that I pray this way, come to my room early in the morning, see if I pray like this or not. Right, we do not expect to be successful in the flesh while we fail in the spirit. Remember, I kicked out someone who was on the top 5 offering in the church. Because if you keep living that way, you're going to lose God. You're going to lose the glory of God. You're going to lose the kingdom. And yet there's no value in possessing anything in this world. God is everything. Amen. There's nothing worth losing God for in this world. Amen. And so if you do not have the confirmation of faith in this aspect, there's no reason for you to be here. And God will not leave you here in the first place. And so this is what's being made clear in the Corinth, Church of Corinth. When there's grace, it is something to give thanks God to. But without grace, it becomes poison. Verse 6, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. And then so when we look at the epistles of Paul, it always talks about the testimony of Christ or the testimony of the gospel, as it says in Philippians. But remember, this testimony is the same root as the word martyr, right? Martyrio. And so when we meet with the Lord, and the moment we receive salvation, immediately the testimony is revealed when I live in grace. It's all connected to grace. If I'm living in grace and yet his testimony is not made evident, then that is a lie. It's an evidence that you are not living by grace. And so what is testimony? Testimony is this. I saw something, right? I saw someone murder someone. If I saw it, I cannot say I did not see. And because I have seen the cross of Jesus Christ, I cannot say that I did not see it. And so how can you lie that you saw it when you saw it, right? That is salvation. Salvation means you see the cross. And because you see the cross, you cannot say that, you cannot deny the cross. You'd rather die. That is what testimony is. That is what martyrdom is. And so every day it's revealed, each and every day, like it says in Romans 5:8. Right, that the love of God through the Holy Spirit is poured out like water. Right, God demonstrates his love for us in this. Right, it's all written in the present tense that each and every day the Holy Spirit demonstrates God's love for us. Right, that demonstration is always revealed, it's always being witnessed. And so, when we live by the Holy Spirit, when we live by grace, this evidence, this testimony must be revealed each and every day. And so if I'm living in faith and there's nothing, a work of faith happening throughout the day, that is impossible. All the pattern of grace means that in one way or another, now of course some things will require a little bit of time, but for the most part, the evidence of faith happens immediately. Ah, because I lived in faith, all of my fears and worries disappeared, right? That's evidence. That is testimony. And so I dedicated this to God and God was pleased. There's testimony. And that testimony comes inside of me. Oh, I engaged in spiritual warfare and I fought the spiritual battle and the testimony of that victory comes inside of me. And so each and every day, how can we live without this testimony? We need to have this testimony each and every day. That is the force, the driving force that allows us to live each and every day. And so God has given us everything. God has done everything. Yes. Now, sometimes it seems like God's not answering. It seems like God is not giving. But that's not what evidence is about. Evidence is about the confirmation within me that, normally I would have feared, but I don't fear. Normally I would fall into despair, but I don't despair. Normally I would have been enraged and I would have fought, but I didn't. All of a sudden, meekness comes inside of me. These testimonies comes when you live by grace. And in that testimony, it says the testimony of Christ. What is the testimony of Christ? What does Christ mean? Christ means king, the majesty of the king. The reign of the king becomes manifest inside of me. His majesty is revealed in my life. There's that testimony. What is gospel? Gospel means the promise of God is being revealed inside of you. What about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is manifest inside of you. And so these evidences, if you are living by grace and yet it doesn't reveal, no, that means you are not living by grace. Because the promise of this fruit Jesus gave to us in John 15, right? God wants that fruit more than you could ever desire. And what does it mean? All we have to do is be attached to the branch. That means the life of Jesus Christ would manifest each and every day. If you don't have evidence of that in your life, then you need to, first of all, acknowledge that there's a problem with your Christian life. There is no witness. There's no testimony being manifest. Right, Deacon Pan, before you didn't have grace, you know, your wife, when she got cancer, it was such, you were worried about everything. But once you were filled with grace, you were so happy that people were mistaken that you were happy that your wife is going to die. Right? No, that wasn't the case. When you didn't have grace, you were filled with sadness and filled with sorrow. But when you had that grace, you were filled with joy. You were filled with joy. That is evidence. That is testimony. Same thing with Yunjong, Pastor Yunjong. So you know, the ones who went on vacation this week, my wife gave them allowance of $200 to enjoy something to eat. There's no guarantee that I'm going to do this for the other half. But anyways, and so this word testimony is really important. The testimony was confirmed among you. We see this also in verse 8 as well. Sustain. Sustain. Right? Sustain. Guarantee. Right? That God will sustain this testimony inside of you. Will sustain, will maintain this evidence inside of you. And so it's not made by my efforts. It's all in His strength. And so it doesn't make sense that you don't have anything. When you live by grace, it must be manifest. Now, of course, there are times where this evidence doesn't reveal, even though you are working to live in grace. Why? Because maybe there is some kind of binding or some kind of hole. But once you deal with that, it becomes easy to live by grace. So if you live like me for the past 36 years, constantly living in grace, then the evidence of this grace is constantly multiplying inside of me. Even when I just think, God starts to work. There are days like that sometimes, right? In thoughts, I was like, oh, I want to eat this. And God prepares that for me on that day. No, I mean, this is not a big deal. But in this way, grace, when it's strengthened and when it's continually multiplied inside of you, your life becomes exponentially beautiful in grace. Oh, I want to give this offering for the conference in Israel. And so I gave everything and I became a beggar. And so when you just think, God opens everything. That's why I don't pray, Lord, give me money. Right? No, sometimes I ask for like some kind of money for building. It's not actually I'm seeking for money, but rather I'm asking for the relationship of God. I have faith that whatever I ask for, God is going to give me. And so the rate of grace is constantly growing faster and faster. So that's the testimony. And then verse 7, so that you are not lacking in any gift. And then we talk about 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the spiritual gifts. The church in Corinth, the problem they had with spiritual gifts is that they tried to use it without grace. Because there was no grace, they thought that this spiritual gift was their own possession. No, we possess nothing. The only thing we can possess is our salvation. We do not possess spiritual gifts. That is the problem with charismatic ministries, is that they think that they possess the spiritual gifts. We possess nothing in this world, in this life. Even money, if you think that it's your money, that's a problem. There's nothing that is yours in this world. I have 6 children. And then someone would be like, who touched mine? And I say to him, what do you mean yours? You don't have anything. Right? Even our life is not our own. I possess nothing. And so when I think I possess something, that starts to rot everything. Even spiritual gifts, if I think I possess it, it starts to rot. So even as the testimony of Christ was, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this gift built up the church and built up merit. And so as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this time that they spent waiting for God's glory, that gives them gain. But when they think of it as their possession, it becomes a reason for their boasting. And so even spiritual gifts, it needs to be received in the context of grace, constantly being strengthened in that context. And so spiritual growth, without the growth of holiness, and yet their spiritual gifts, that means death will follow. Death will surely follow. And yet, so for our church, in the past 27 years, even though we've been using and manifesting spiritual gifts, why are we not dying? Because we've been constantly demanding holiness, purity. And all of our systems are accurate to the Bible. That the spiritual gifts is not everything to the church. It's just one part of the kingdom of heaven. We do not consider it everything. No matter what ministry we do not say the part as the whole. No, everything is integrated as a whole. That is the kingdom of God. This is really important. So for the past 27 years, through me, God has taught you what it means, all of this, what it means. And so that's why you can go all over the world and still ministry, even our high schoolers, even our middle schoolers. Where shall we go next year, high school? Youth group, where do you want to go next year? Nicaragua? You want to go back to Central America? Nicaragua will send internship. Where should I send the high schoolers? To Rome? Pray about it. Pray about it. What about you, principal? No? NSIP has the most money in our church. It's all because of your offering. And so look, when we are in grace, all of the riches, the purpose is to for the revealing of Jesus Christ. It's all waiting for that day. Whether it's spiritual gifts, whatever it may be of the children of the kingdom of God, it's all set for that revealing of Jesus Christ. And so verse 8 and 9, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so all of the grace in Christ is focused on what? On how you will be at that in that day. And so all of your life, every aspect, when if Jesus Christ was to come today, who will I be before him? What kind of person will I be before him? This is something you must be consider. You must consider each and every day and be confirm each and every day. Never lose sight of this. This is what it means to have eschatological faith, that I'm going to be standing in glory before God. No matter, even if I die right now, I will be standing before him in glory. Right, when Elder Chu passed away, in his funeral, right, we saw that his video is the third most popular video in our church's YouTube channel. Most popular was last year's busking worship in Israel. I don't know why that video was so popular, but anyways. Whoever dies in our church, we do not cry for that person. We rejoice. Why? Because when they die, they're standing before our Lord in glory. Amen. So even when Enoch died, whoever dies, it was always a celebration. It was always a feast. Now, of course, there were times where we would cry, but there was no mourning. There was no tragedy. Oh, what am I going to do? Or, oh, woe is me. No, none of that. And so all of the results of this riches is set for that day of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the ability to stand before Lord Jesus Christ is all sustained by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Ephesians 1:4, what does it say? This is his predestination for you. And then so in verse 8 and 9, you can combine it. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son. You were called. And so he, those who he called, he has chosen, right? This is pre-election. And so in Matthew chapter 24, it talks about those who are called and those who are elected. Also in Revelation, it says those who are called and those who are chosen. And so if you have been called, you must end in being chosen, right? And so what is that? What is this predestination? To be pure and blameless. This goal must be clear in your life. Each and every day, you must never forget this, that God's purpose for you, that his predestination for you is pure and blameless. Who wants this? It's God. And because God wants this, he has determined this. And so we need to have faith in his decision. Until the day we die, his predestination, you must believe that it is his desire. And even now, as you are in this church, God is leading you to his predestination. God is leading this entire community to the climax of that predestination. Amen? And so that's why we have martyrs. That season is upon us. And so all the time schedule is moving quicker and quicker. Now we do not need to feel rushed or we don't need to worry. No, but if God has chosen us as his children, we must run to be blameless. We must yearn to be pure and blameless because of the faith we have that this is God's will for us. And so all of the grace of God, all of his gifts, is all the riches he gives to his church, the riches of glory is all being given to us for what? All the power of the blood, the grace, the power of fire, all the revelation, the love, all of this riches is given to you for what purpose? To bring about this predestination. All the word, all the Holy Spirit, the power of the blood, it's all given to you to make this inside of you. God will not limit this inside of you. And as long as you do not limit yourself, as long as you let God to work inside of you, God's power will move inside of you. Amen? To be blameless. And then so God will sustain you. Our Lord Jesus Christ sustains you. And so, this is God's purpose to call you and to be chosen. And so it's God's choice to call you and lead you to glorification. You must believe. That's what we do. It's not calculating how do I do this. No, I just believe. It's God's purpose. It's God's will. There's nothing easier than this. All I have to do is believe in the promise of God. There's nothing easier than this. All it says is look, and when you look, you'll be healed. Can you not look? Believe in that promise. That's all you have to do. It's so easy. Just believe in the promise. That's how easy it is to live in God. Believe in his promise. Believe in the promise of his creation. Right? God says, I am righteous. What? Who are you, devil, to say anything to me? God says, I am righteous. Who are you, human, to say anything to me? That is our God. Amen? That through the sacrifice that his son has paid, he guarantees all of this. He sustains this inside of you. All of the impossible he has made possible. All you have to do is believe. Amen? If it was complicated, if it's complicated to live in God, that means something's wrong inside of you. It's not complicated. It's simple. And so even dumb people, even retarded people can have faith well. You are a doctor, right? You're a doctor. And because you're a doctor, you're smart. But don't let this be a stumbling block. Even if you're a doctor, always remind yourself, I cannot do anything without you, Lord. I cannot do anything. Keep brainwashing yourself. And so doctors, I really think it's going to be difficult for you because you are so smart. People like me who are so dumb, it's so easy. Oh, Lord, yeah, it's you. All I need is you. But doctors, there's so much knowledge. Right, Dr. or Deacon Yum?
Yeah.
Did you read more medical papers or more Bibles? I did never read books. The only thing I read was the Bible. And so it's so easy for me to believe in Christ. In him, medical journals are constantly circulating inside of his mind. I have not read any other book except for the Bible. So please pray for the doctors, okay? Really. Without these doctors, where would we be, to be honest? And so thank you to all the doctors. Pray for them. Pray for them because they have so much in their minds. During the coronavirus, what would have happened if we didn't have these hospitals, really? Right, these four and the pharmacist. Where's the pharmacist? There's the pharmacist. These doctors, they are people that we need. But individually, it's difficult to believe in Christ because they have so much in their head. You should be grateful because you have not read anything except for the Bible, right? You're just like me. You are the same and you act as if you're not nothing and you don't apply. Anyways, I'm grateful. And so God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so this fellowship, when you look at 1 John 1 verse 4, what is fellowship? Fellowship is to be with him. Be with him. And so when we are with Christ, we are having fellowship with him. This is automatic. Because you are not with God, you cannot have fellowship. Fellowship doesn't just mean prayer. No, wherever you may be, whether it's at your workplace, wherever it may be. Remember, I always say that you need to live with the reign of God over you all the times. This is what it means. When you are with him, if you are with him, then immediately you will have fellowship with him. And so in Colossians, we also saw, if you want to be with him, then what do you need? You first need to be in him. Do you remember? Right, so look at this paper. It goes inside the Bible. Then where is the Bible? It's over my head. Then where's the paper? It's also over my head. And because I'm in, I'm also with. Amen? You remember, right? You remember from Colossians. And so I'm in Christ. Because I'm in Christ, I'm with Christ. And so this is the spiritual mechanism of fellowship. Right? When I'm in, I'm with. Why am I not with him? Because I'm not in him. And so as we see in 1 John, the most important revelation in 1 John is what? Is that I am in him and he is in me. Right? That is the greatest revelation of the Apostle John. Right? And so in Christ, you are with Christ. And so in Colossians, when I'm in him and with him, there are five historical truth that becomes mine. Jesus' death is my death. Jesus' burial is my burial. Jesus' resurrection is my burial. Jesus' throne is my throne. Jesus' return is my return. And so this five historical facts becomes embodied inside of me. And so I'm in Christ, I'm with Christ. This is not theoretical, it's not ideological. If I'm in him, I'm with him. And so as it says in Galatians 2, for I have been crucified with Christ on the cross. Right? You just believe because you are in Christ. His burial, there's evidence each and every day that he has died and I have died with him. And every day I have evidence that I've resurrected with him. And then his throne, all of the riches of his throne is revealed inside of me. And then his return, I'm enjoying the parousia glory of his return. And so when I'm in Christ, I'm with Christ. And so you all understand what this is. I went over this really easily. It's so easy to preach these days because all I have to say is, you know, things that I would normally have taken 2 or 3 days to preach, I just preach in with one sentence. And so this is the introduction. And so in this introduction, what do we see as the problem? Okay, in Corinth, everything was rich, whether it's gifts, money, knowledge, wisdom, all of these things were rich. And yet, because it was outside of grace, it became poison to them. This is the focus of the church in Corinth. And so these poisons are the things that we'll see throughout the body. Even the spiritual gift becomes a poison. And with all of these riches, when they should have worshipped, but the worship dies, And what is the focus of spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts is regarding to worship. Because we are all having fellowship with God. What is fellowship? What is worship? Worship is using all the spiritual gifts to have worship. And so all of this became poison. And so let's move on. Okay, let us pray then. Okay, I'm going to keep my promise. 1 hour. I keep my promise. Kids, I think that there's no grace in you because you are celebrating when the sermon is short. But it's important to pray. Okay. God is going to pour everything out as you pray. I really hope to preach shortly on during Wednesdays. Maybe on Sundays, preach 3 hours, but only 1 hour on Wednesday. Because on Wednesday, the most important thing is to pray. And on Wednesdays, I think I want to do some healing and also casting out demons. But today, I want to prepare for Israel, so I got to hurry up and turn in. But for the most part, I'm going to try to preach shortly and activate spiritual gifts on Wednesday and do a lot of healing on Wednesday. Is there anyone sick right now? No one, right? Don't raise your hand right now, okay? Let us pray, okay? Let's pray powerfully today. Enter deeply into prayer. Before the conference in Israel, God wants to loosen all kinds of things. Really, Monday, I didn't really do anything. Just fire just came and I prayed. And as I prayed, there was all of this golden dust flowing everywhere. God is giving me these signs of blessings. And so even today, I don't know what's going to happen. Let's pray. And so don't just go home, but pray. Okay, when you think that, oh, I'm finished praying, and then you go home, there might something begin right now. But so anyways, so Lord, our cell leaders, pastors, ministers, go out and minister. Open up their spirits, amen? And so Lord, today as we pray, Lord, let our prayer go into new glory. And so let's put focus on one thing. Am I truly enjoying grace? In Christ, am I living in grace? Or is it my strength? Is it my experience? And am I being hardened in that? That is what you need to check today. Am I always enjoying the grace of God? What is the sign of living in Christ? Everything is easy. Why? Because you are in the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with this joy and the inspiration of it being easy. If you don't have that joy, then that means your Christian life is going in the wrong direction. And even now, as you pray, you need to realize this. And so look, you may think, oh, he is having an easy life because he has a lot of money. Oh, he is having an easy life because his children treats him well. No, that's all deception. There is no one who has an easy life in this world. It's just that your suffering looks big to you. You are not suffering because of the things that you lack. No, our suffering comes because we do not live by God. You all know this. You all are aware of this. You think that it's because of your poverty that you have pain. But when you are later in grace, you realize that that poverty is nothing. And so the problem is that you are losing grace. You think that, oh, it's because of this suffering. You think it's because of this weakness. You think it's because of this circumstance. Oh, it's because of my wife. It's because I do not have money. No, do not be deceived. In this world, there is no problem that is bigger than God. There is no tragedy that is worse than the tragedy of losing out on God. All we need is God. That is grace. And so we need to get rid of this deception. As long as you are not deceived in this way, there is no suffering, no persecution in this world. Even death, you could be happy. So do not be deceived. Oh, because I don't have money, I'm suffering. No, you are not suffering because of money. You are suffering because of that money, you are losing grace. Same thing with your flesh. right? Look at me. I have so many illnesses. My wife also has so many illnesses. I say to her every day, let's retire. Because my body is suffering. Truly. Right? For 27 years, going all over the world, of course my body will break down. And so it's rough. And yet, even this, when there's grace, I can live through it. Whether I have pain or not, it doesn't matter. There's grace. And these days, my teeth has been a problem. And so really, there's nowhere that's normal in from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes. Right, when you take out the armor of the general is covered in bruises, right, in the same way. And yet, because of the grace of God, nothing in this world can take away your joy. That is the inspiration we have. And so tonight, do not be deceived. Oh, I don't have money. Oh, because of this problem, it's causing my life to be problem. No, it's because you are losing grace. Do not be deceived. As long as I have grace, I can proclaim victory each and every day. For the past 27 years, that's what our church has been preaching. Even with all these beggars in this church, even with all of these beggars, and yet we're doing such great ministry all over the world. Who would have thunk? Really, 27 years ago, if God revealed this to me beforehand, I would not be here. This is all done by God. How amazing. Yes. Look at the person next to you. There's no one who would look at you and have this dream of this ministry. Right? In England, there was this big missionary organization saying that, how can one church do such a ministry? They looked down on us. And yet, look at us. We minister all over the world. We even have natives of that country training here, also ministering. Is this our work? No, it's grace. It's all Him. In grace, we have victory. Same thing. Lord, today, we enter into Your grace. Yes, Lord. Grace is everything. Grant us this grace. Lord, let us fulfill Your predestination. And Lord, let us start the great climax of Your works. And so Lord, when we go out in the name of Your community, let us experience great victory. Whether it be our business, whether it be our workplace, wherever it may be. Lord, let us confirm Your amazing victory each and every day. Bless Yabang Church. Bless Yabang Church that is serving Israel for the 10 years. Bless them all you want. Let their prophecy grow sharper. Let their ministry grow powerful. Let their businesses multiply. And Lord, through Yabang Church, let blessings flow. It's all about grace. There's nothing but except for grace. God is raising up many things in a powerful way, especially this prophetic anointing. And so you need to grow sharper in prophecy. So tonight, let us get rid of all the elementary prophecies, but being able to stab at the heart of the issue. Being able to hit the target, amen? And so today, I'm going to lay my hands on each and every single one of you. Ministers, pastors, also go minister. Interpretation, loosening, also cell leaders, you also go out, minister, everything needs to be loosened. Lord, as Your servant lays his hands, especially Lord, grant us the grace that sharpens our prophetic anointing above every all other times. Lord, sharpen us, Lord, let our spirit hear Your voice even more sharper. Let us be sharper, Lord, more powerful, Lord. Let this community enter into a new glory as we prepare for this conference in Israel. Lord, move!